anybody break a resolution yet? Anyone? You still got plenty of time, don't worry. Just so you know, this is the celebration of Three Kings Day. It's not actually the Three Kings Day. That's usually January 6th. That's Wednesday, so you still have some time to take your Christmas decorations down. That's sort of been the historical time to do so, but I don't know if anybody remembers that anymore, judging on what's going on with all of the lights around. It's sort of become a thing where there are Christmas lights and then they just become winter lights for people because there are some people who sort of refuse to take them down, which is a help for us because that's how we get our kids to sleep these days, at least in this season. But it's really strange. That used to be the thing. You would take them all down at Three Kings Day. Everything had to be put away at that point. The kings have been there. You can start cleaning up. But that really isn't the case. I was listening to the radio, and they were interviewing somebody, and they said they do it on Martin Luther King Day. That's their time to put them away. And then I heard somebody else that said there was one year at Easter they were hiding Easter eggs in the old dry tree from Christmas that they had in the backyard still. And I wish that I could say that's crazy, but been there. But you have a choice now. It seems like there's a real choice. I've been thinking about choices a lot this week. Maybe it's because I already declared to our four-year-old, this is the year of obedience. It's a hard line with kids, too, because I want him to know that he always has a choice on his behavior. Of course, one of the choices that he makes might come with some consequences. But I always want him to know that, and it's kind of hard to teach that. And it comes to, I think a lot of adults don't even know that. You know, they sort of feel like, I don't have a choice in all of this stuff. You always have a choice. And I started to think about, you know, some of the choices, big and small, they have such an impact on our lives. You know, in making the decision of where to go for college, my three top choices, two of them, one was where my brother was going to school, one was where my sister was going to school. So I chose none of those, and I came here to San Diego. But that simple choice caused me to meet my beautiful wife and, you know, have our family and become a Christian and be here serving Jesus with all of you. God is good. You know, all of these decisions that we make, God works through. He always gives us a choice, and he's always working through those decisions and choices if we just allow him to do so, if we just invite him in. And I know I've shared this story before, but just, you know, that choice that I made when I was 13 to throw ice off the People Mover at Disneyland. Getting in trouble, busted by the Disneyland police. That little choice that I made, because I thought it would be hilarious, caused me to be, you know, afraid of authority, afraid of authority figures, and be scared for so much of my life. These little tiny choices, you know, big or small, make a huge difference in our lives. You know, our gospel today is really about choices. We sort of have this microcosmic kind of gospel in itself. The whole gospel is in this passage. It's a passage filled with mysterious visitors and cosmic observances and all of this amazing stuff. And sometimes it gets lost in the wrapping and putting away the tree and taking down the lights. We've all heard the story before. But it's a story of these visitors from the East. We don't even know how many there were. We don't even know where they were coming from, their positions of authority. We just know that they are called Magi, the wise men. Maybe some royal officials. Clearly they have some money, some means, and a lot of time off because they're able to travel for years. Consider what they left, really. I'm joking about the time off, but consider the sacrifice they make. And they come, and the first thing that they do, they stop in and they visit King Herod. You know, this is what a royal delegation is supposed to do. You stop in, you check in with the king, and you tell him why you're there. And he does, and they do this, and then they go and meet the child. And they go and they see him laying there, and they open up their treasure boxes, and they give them gold and him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Of course, what every child needs, right? These three gifts. Have they never been to a baby shower, right? These are strange gifts, but of course they are so meaningful. Gold for a king, frankincense for God. Which, by the way, I made Brother Ed take out already. It was already bothering my nose. But you know, that's what you do. You raise it up incense. Your prayers are incense to God. You offer that to God Himself. And myrrh, which is a burial spice. It's a strange gift, and it must have puzzled the parents, but they're valuable gifts, and they're gifts that are so meaningful in the life of Jesus as King, as God, and as sacrifice. And then they leave a different route, and that's really all that we hear about them. This story, like I said, we do it every year. You hear it every year. You set up your little guys, your three of them. We've decided three is the right number because of their gifts. You set them up every year. And what struck me, though, was not their role in the story this time around. When I was reading it, the one that struck me was Herod. Now, Herod is a monster, okay? We know this. Historically, we know that he murdered three of his own sons, killed two of his own wives, because he thought they were plotting against him. Caesar, the one who appointed and affirmed Herod's authority, Caesar Augustus, is known to have said, it's better to be one of Herod's pigs than Herod's sons. It's actually funnier in Greek. There's a punny little play on words there, too. But it's true. And I talk about external holiness versus internal impurity that we talk about so often here. You know, he is known as a murderer. He is known as committing infanticide and killing his own sons and his wives. But at least he kept kosher. You know, so his pigs were safe. That's what that means when Caesar says that. It's better to be one of his pigs because they're not going to be killed in the process. But Herod is the one who stuck out to me in all of this. Did you get that it said that when the wise men came, Herod and the rest of Jerusalem were deeply disturbed. Why would he have been disturbed? You know, he receives this in the wrong way, and it's funny, this is kind of a theme throughout Scripture. It's always the foreigner, or the person who is least expected to get the truth of God, that seems to understand it better than the ones who are living from within it. There are so many times in Scripture where that's the case, but Herod is the one who's supposed to know all of this. Herod is the leader. He calls himself the King of the Jews, whether the people accept it or not. He should know that the Messiah is coming. This real King of the Jews is coming. He should know all of this already. And this should be a thing of joy because he's come to set the captives free. But instead, it disturbs him. It fills him with fear. Why would Herod be so disturbed to hear that the King of the Jews is born? Because Herod worships another king, doesn't he? He worships himself, his power, and he's deeply afraid of losing control. He has his own kingship to worry about. And of course, what does Herod do when he finds out that there's the king there? First, he deceives. He says, tell me where he is once you find him, because then I'll go worship him too. What is he actually doing? He's trying to find a way to kill him. It's the story of Jesus' life, right? That's the whole gospel. People are plotting to kill him simply because he is the king. And so what happens is when the wise men go a different direction home because they've been warned in a dream from God, Herod commits infanticide of a disturbing number. He goes and he orders the killing of all of the sons that are under 2 years old in Bethlehem and the surrounding regions. Isn't that devastating? Talk about fear of losing your kingdom. But like I said, this is sort of a micro version of the gospel itself, isn't it? Jesus comes, and he's in the center of the story. He's silent, but he's in the center of the story. When he comes into the world, we are confronted with Jesus and this alternative kingdom that he's establishing. God came and brought a kingdom right into the kingdom that exists already. And that kingdom is in opposition to the kingdom of this world. You can't serve two masters. A house divided, a kingdom divided, cannot stand. And so what God has done is he has planted himself in the middle of this kingdom and offered an alternative. But you can't have both. And what the story of Herod tells me is that we have a choice. We're always going to have a choice. And you have two different alternatives. One is the wise men track. One is to follow God's signs, God's leadings to the King of the universe. To worship him and to bow down. To adore him. To offer sacrifice. To offer our very lives. Consider all the books that could be written about these people's lives. We know nothing about them except for the most important thing, that they loved Jesus. And that's the legacy that they leave. The other path is the Herodian path. Fearful. What? There's another king? I must put him to death. So fearful of losing control is Herod that he puts to death so many babies, so many innocent children, because he's afraid of losing his kingdom. And I know that sounds like an extreme example, but really, there's only two paths. When confronted with Jesus, what choice are you going to make? Are you going to worship him? Are you going to adore him? Or are you instead going to try to put to death everything from the kingdom of heaven in order to worship your own king, your power, your authority, your control, your comfort, your desires and needs? The choice is, which king are you going to serve? And now that Jesus has come into our world, we are confronted with this choice. Which one are you going to make? And now I know so many of your hearts, I know the decision that you have made on an eternal basis. And praise God for that. You have made the choice to worship Jesus, to worship and follow his kingdom and him as king. But it's those little decisions, it's those little moments, the day-to-day things that I wonder about. I wonder about it in my own life. When I leave here, we all look so good here. We all say the right things, and we're so holy and pious, and we do all of the right stuff when we're in here. And then we leave the building, and guess what? Nobody from church sees what we're doing. But every day, in every one of our little tiny decisions, we're confronted with the presence of the true King. And so which king are you going to serve? I don't know, maybe it's an opportunity to do some community service. Maybe it's an opportunity to come and pray at church. Maybe it's an opportunity to just make the right moral decision. And which king are you going to serve? Jesus says we have a choice. And now that the true King has entered into our world, what's your choice going to be? What king are you going to serve? Let's pray. Let's take a moment to just hear what Jesus is saying to us now. Lord, countless times in your word, you give us this option. Choose this day who you will serve. From the beginning and all the way to the end, Lord, you are calling us home. You are inviting us in. You are just giving us the opportunity, that choice, to pledge allegiance to your kingdom, to worship and bow down to you, to be the authority in our lives. So, Lord, right now we recommit ourselves, or we commit ourselves for the first time, to be not of this kingdom, not of the world that we are in, but instead be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we pray that you would speak so boldly, so loudly in our lives this week when we are given those choices. Shout into our hearts your love and your desire for us to be part of your kingdom, and not just as citizens, but heirs. Lord, help us to always make the choice to put you first as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Choose to serve you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.